Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I got friends, only wanna talk business. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I've been reading all the work.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Put That Coffee Down, the Freight Sales Show for Closers. My name's Kevin Hill. I'm your host as always. I have a very special guest in, I guess, the remote studio today. It's Dr. Mark Manera calling in here from St. Louis. I see a St. Louis Cardinals hat in the background. And he is the founder of Supply Chain Fitness. And his quest is to get everyone in the supply chain as healthy as possible. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Mark Manera.
Yeah, Kevin, thank you so much for having me. Excited for the conversation. And as always, love talking to you.
Perfect. Mark, let's start off with Supply Chain Fitness, kind of how you got involved in that. Where was the aha moment? Because in every company founder, entrepreneur, in every business, there's that aha moment where you kind of think that there's a window of opportunity and then you become obsessed with it like no one else in the world would become obsessed with it.
Yes, the aha moment happened 3 years ago because 3 years ago, I had no clue, didn't know anyone in the trucking supply chain world, no one in my family, even close family friends were in trucking logistics, supply chain as a whole. I grew up with a lot of my family and both my parents were in the medical field, and I was kind of going down that same route. And I went to physical therapy school here in St. Louis, and I was on a clinical rotation finishing up grad school in this really small clinic in the small town just south of St. Louis, and rehabbing a bunch of people, and in walked a truck driver, and actually a couple of truck drivers that I was rehabbing. And honestly, saw firsthand, you know, what 20, 30 years behind the wheel can do to someone's health. And there was one driver in particular who had just had a total knee replacement, and 38 years as an over-the-road truck driver. I saw him day one after having that knee replacement. So he hobbled in, still a little like loopy off of pain medicine from the surgery. And, you know, we just started working together for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, because that rehab process is a long time. And especially early on, it's very painful. And me being the bad guy PT that has to get them back to having full knee range of motion and be able to walk and jump into the truck again, you have to push the limits a little bit so that they can get their knees bending again. And so a lot of the time early on is them lying in the bed and I'm just stretching their knee out. And instead of them screaming, I small talk with them. And I'm just a curious person in general. So I like to ask questions and just hear their story. And he just started telling me about his 38 years over the road, told me about how much he loves trucking. He's got he's a dad of five, been married for 40 years, and just telling me, you know, the sacrifices he had to make being an over-the-road truck driver, but also how much he loved it and how much he did it for his family. And, you know, I think every truck driver has a different way that they look at the family dynamic, but how he looked at it was, hey, I'm out for a couple of weeks, but when I'm home, I'm home and I get to enjoy my kids and family. And he had actually hurt his knee in the late 90s, and it took him 20 years because of just how crazy trucking was in his family life to actually have a surgery. So that is really what sparked me, because one of the questions that I asked as a physical therapist was, hey, you know, before this injury or before the surgery, what were you doing for exercise? And because, you know, my goal is to get them back even better than what they were previously. And, you know, typically when I ask people who don't exercise, the response is, yeah, I know, I probably should be doing more than I am doing. Or, yeah, my doctor asked me the same thing, I get it. But when I ask this guy, you know, 38 years as an over-the-road truck driver, you know, drivers don't hold back. They just tell you how it is. And I said, you know, hey, before, you know, when you were out on the road, what were you doing for exercise? And he said, I'm a trucker. We don't exercise. What do you mean? And so that just threw me down this rabbit hole, the trucking industry. And, you know, long story short, after hours and hours of digging into it, what I ended up seeing just completely changed the course of my career and got me to start Supply Chain Fitness.
It's strange because, you know, over the road drivers, I mean, a normal week is about 70 hours. And if you're not in the truck, you're in the cab. And, you know, for all of us out there who've made that 1 day or 2 day road trip across America, or parts of America, those long 8 hour drives, I mean, you just feel like crap at the end of it, right? It takes like a day to recover. And imagine doing that 5-6 days a week for 30 years and how your muscles be cramped. And, you know, the last thing you want to do is exercise. Once you get out of the cab, you kind of want to stretch, certainly. But what toll that takes on your body, and then the lack of movement all day long. I mean, you're sitting behind the wheel, and then you flash forward to the cases that you see, and I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that health, you know, health cases in truck drivers is so common.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's really this vicious cycle because, right, you know, you talked about the sedentary lifestyle, and it's challenging. But what I probably took me, you know, a decent amount of conversation and time of talking to drivers and getting to know them was really, it's much more the mental drain that it takes of just being on for 11 to 14 hours because, you know, we're sitting here at our desk and sometimes we can zone out. And, you know, I guess we all probably daydream a little bit while we're driving at times. But when you're behind an 80,000 pound truck and you've got crazy people cutting you off, speeding around you, honking at you, it's hard to zone out and it's hard not to be just on at all moments. Mm-hmm. And then you do that for extended periods of time with little breaks and little bathroom breaks. And, you know, then the pressure of getting to a shipper or a receiver at a certain time so you can make the delivery, and it all adds up. And it's like this mental block that makes it difficult on a day-to-day basis to get into a healthy routine. And then you start going more bird's eye view and you start adding days and days and days and months and weeks and years of not doing anything. And then there's this mental barrier that gets added in of, you know, the longer you wait, the harder it is to get back into it. And I think it's just this vicious cycle that so many drivers get stuck in. And it's really sad because you end up seeing these stats of, you know, a truck driver has a life expectancy 16 years less than the average population. I mean, 16, I cannot imagine signing, like, say, you know, going on LinkedIn saying, I got a new career. I'm going to be a truck driver. Oh, there's 2 decades of my life gone off of my life. It's like, it's crazy that how important they are for our economy, but then how easily swept under the rug them as a person gets. And that was really the spark. And honestly, what still drives me today, and obviously we've looked, you know, I've been able to expand a little further than just drivers alone, because I think there's a lot of people in this industry and in the supply chain that need the help. But that driver at the center is really the motivating factor and where a lot of my passion is at.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, all industrial workers, all blue collar workers kind of fit in that mold. I think driving is certainly at the top of the, you know, always the most dangerous jobs. And we think about flatbeds and getting up on the trailer and kind of the dangerous aspects of getting into crashes and wrecks. But the real danger seems to be just the lifestyle of it.
Yes.
The sedentary lifestyle makes it a very dangerous job over the long term.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's something that is like this taboo subject that not a lot of people want to talk about because it's not a fun thing to talk about. But, you know, you got the life expectancy. You've got 7 out of every 10 truck drivers who are obese. You've got the highest amount of obesity and diabetes in compared to, you know, rates compared to any other occupation in the United States, I guess probably world, but I'll say United States is where the data is at. And it's really sad. And for a lot of people, they're so focused. A lot of companies are so focused on day-to-day fires that they have to put out that it's sometimes hard to take a step back and look at the long-term impact and also long-term risk that's put on their bottom line and their organization for not doing anything about it.
So how does Supply Chain Fitness, how you founded that as a solution to this problem or solution to a piece of this problem? How does it address it?
Yeah, so think about us as a trucking focused or supply chain niche down corporate health or corporate wellness program. A lot of trucking companies have HR divisions, safety divisions, they've got, you know, operations people. And the more and more you get into the day-to-day tasks that they do, a lot of them are juggling so many different things. And oftentimes it's the HR or safety person who's supposed to think about health and safety, but oftentimes it's just the latter part of the safety and the health just gets thrown out. And maybe at the beginning of the year, they'll do a health challenge. But just like all of us know, health is a year-round thing. And, you know, doing it for a 1 week in January is not really pushing the needle at all. And what we do is we come in and we really take a blunt of the day-to-day work of managing and running the corporate health program. We have a app-based platform that we personalize a exercise, nutrition, and accountability program for each individual employee based off of their lifestyle, their goals, their starting point. And we personalize that connection and connect them to a coach, because I really think the magic of all of this is the accountability and coaching relationship, which we provide through that app and through phone and onboarding call and text messages on a weekly basis, where we're checking up on them. We're adapting their program if something's not working. We're encouraging them when things are working. And those are those soft aspects that often get overlooked, but really make or break and is the glue of really anyone making a long-term health change.
It really is. So my first job in trucking was with Melton Truck Lines, which is a flatbed operator out of Tulsa. And I will say that health was a major tenet of the culture.
Awesome.
It really was. From Bob Peterson especially from Bob Peterson, it was very important that they built a new building. I left about time that building opened, but we had a gym in the old facilities, better gym. There's a cafeteria, right? Healthy foods in that cafeteria for the drivers came through and then all the office workers. And part of that was, it was a business decision.
Yep.
Self-insured health insurance. It was a huge cost for them. But they did a very good job as having health as essential key to that culture, which is tough for a lot of organizations to do, right? To have any kind of really key tenant that's not driven by certainly the owner. Is a good way to adopt that culture, because if you're going to work there, you gotta at least play the part, right? So having that as a supplement, and that's something that Melton, even very safety focused, health focused company would go out and purchase outside vendors to really enhance that. So it's very interesting to have tailor made dietary plans and coaches for that.
Yeah, and I think, that's amazing. And I always say health needs to be a part of your culture like safety is a part of your culture, right? Mm-hmm. Every single driver, every single person in trucking and logistics cares about safety. And if the driver should care about their safety just as much as the company does, but that doesn't mean the company just leaves, safety up to each individual driver. They're pushing hard on it. And I think the same goes for health as well. And I think that, companies like that is amazing. And, I think we've got a couple of companies we work with that have a gym in, their facility. And, when they tell me is, we have a gym, but we don't see too many people utilize the gym. And, what I always say and what we do is our programs are built to be done anywhere at any time. Our most popular program from a driver perspective is actually in the truck programs. They do stuff right in the back of their truck. A lot of times drivers don't feel comfortable or it's too cold in December in Canada to go up and get out of the truck and do a workout. And so they do it right in the back of their truck. And for a lot of the people inside the office, they do For a lot of people inside the office, they're doing at-home workouts and they're not even going to a gym. And so that's where I always say, you know, finding something that meets each person where they're at and gives them the ability that if they're not a gym person or they're not, you know, whatever it is person, they're not forced, if they want to do the wellness benefit or the health benefit at the company, to have to go to the gym with all of their, coworkers and work out there. They can do it in the privacy of, you know, what fits their lifestyle.
You definitely can. So what's the next iteration of this? I mean, you have the app, and I think you're working on other things at the moment, certainly things of interest to take this to the next iteration above, right?
With some
different tools.
Yeah. So, you know, I think when I look back at the last 3 years of what we've been doing at Supply Chain Fitness, honestly, the most eye-opening, shocking thing that I've seen is just this explosive surge of chronic diseases across the whole trucking industry. You know, diabetes, obesity, heart disease, high blood pressure. And it's really sad. It's scary. And, you know, as I'm getting to know these people on a personal level, all those feelings get multiplied. And what I'm really realizing, what's been an eye-opener and just talking to so many VPs of HR and benefit providers, is just the bottom line hit to health insurance costs. You know, 86% of all healthcare costs in the United States are directly associated to chronic diseases. And, you know, the industrial sector, so we'll expand out past supply chain and the trucking industry alone, but, you know, it's spending over $540 billion a year just trying to manage and handle all of these chronic diseases across the whole, you know, employee base. And really what we're focused on and the direction we're going is really finding ways to reimagine how to manage these chronic diseases that fit the lifestyle of a truck driver or an industrial worker as a whole. And I think it's something that, you know, just like a lot of things, when it's, you know, solutions or health-based for all, it really doesn't fit the lifestyle of a lot of people who work unique job situations like trucking, like a lot of people in supply chain. And so really focusing and building, utilizing some artificial intelligence, which we can go down that rabbit hole, which has just been a huge interest, and just some of the things that are coming out are just amazing. And the opportunities with it are amazing, but really utilizing some of those to really create this amazing experience that's hyper-personalized for each member that, you know, combats these chronic diseases that are a lot of the times lifestyle-based that can be reversed or prevented if we can get ahead of it.
I think you're right on that. I think AI tools, and I don't want to get too in the weeds of AI tools because I can't even keep a conversation too much with it, but it does have the ability to kind of really automate that decision making of this based on pretty well fixed criteria, right? And then you can bring in a human to make any really subjective calls on if it's right or not, if it's right or wrong. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that each person is different. So you can bring in, and if you need to tailor anything, You can tailor it with humans, but for the most part, you know, the prescription is the prescription, right? That the what you need to do is what you need to do, and it fits well with a lot of different people, who have that same category. If that makes any sense whatsoever, I feel like it's just rambling now.
No, it does. It does, and you know, I think something that's really interesting how I'm looking at it, and you know, when you look at a lot of the research and some of the guidelines that are on chronic diseases and how we can actually manage them from a lifestyle-based perspective and also prevent them from making changes on a day-to-day basis to some of the things that your health, how much you move, all these different aspects. There's really, I won't nerd out on you too much, but there's 16 different categories that you can look at of things. And how I look at it, have you ever seen the movie Moneyball?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay.
I met Billy Bean.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Oh, wait a second. I think he was at some trucking conference, wasn't he?
He was at the Freight Waves in Arkansas, and it was my job. I volunteered for this, really, to go over and meet him in the lobby and walk him backstage because someone just came by and says, well, does anyone have time to go meet Billy Bean and bring him to stage? I was like, oh, I'll make time for that.
Yes. Yeah.
And because I've read the book two or three times and seen the movie many times. But yes, the analyst, and he talked, well, I'll let you talk. And then he was on stage with Craig, and he got into the next competitive advantage in baseball is in the medical field of being able to predict injuries and kind of, how robust an athlete is, right? Are they injury prone really, or are they not? Because you're signing huge contracts with people who sometimes hardly ever make the field.
Yeah, and that's actually really interesting. And that with the amount of historical data that they have, and also like pre-draft and like just all yes. this data, and then be able to see 5 years, 3 years, 1 year in, that'll be really interesting. But really going back to like the chronic disease and how I'm looking at it is, really, I think this is across health in general, is I think people underestimate the impact that small changes can have. And so many people have this expectation of, I'm making a change to my health, I'm starting a diet, I'm starting a workout program, I'm flipping everything 180 degrees tomorrow, and we're going pedal to the metal and holding on for dear life until I fall back to square one after a week.
You know, that's a good point, and I'm going to ask you this about AI, and if AI is good, or do you expect it to be good very soon, to be able to depict those that I don't want to say low hanging fruit, but there's in everything in life, right? I go back to sales all the time, right? You can tweak one little thing that you can do right now today that has a big impact.
Yes.
Instead of trying to change everything all at once, there is one thing that might be one word in email that you include that could raise your metrics by 10%.
Correct.
Why not do that, right? So is AI, can it kind of just pick its spots like that? To where you don't have to change your entire lifestyle, just change one thing, and you get a 10 or 20% boost in productivity or health benefits from it.
I need to get you on the payroll, because that's exactly what it is, right? Because really there's an algorithm that that we're in the process of building that really breaks it down, coming back to that money ball, where breaks yeah. down these 16 different categories through an onboarding process where we can basically, we can grade each person where they are at in each of these areas. And then because we know what the research and the impact to chronic diseases are with each of these categories, we can say, well, hey, Kevin, you're diabetic and you're not consistently taking your diabetes medication. We can change some nutrition stuff. We can get you moving all day. But if you really want to feel better tomorrow, we should probably get consistent on your medication. Or we should do X first, because that's not only what you're motivated for, but also what's going to have the highest leverage activity as well. And it's finding that balance point and really breaking it down into these small bite-sized pieces where we can focus on the highest leverage activities and fit it into their day, versus saying you need to change your whole day-to-day structure. Yeah. Or you're going to die, because that's just unreal. But I'm telling you, there are doctors out there that use that language and tell people, and it scares the crap out of them. And it sometimes gets them to make some changes, but it also sometimes gets people to say, screw it, and distrust medical providers and all these other stuff.
Yeah. And people do. I mean, in all facets of life. Right, I'll go back to sales again. It's kind of like health, right? You need to change everything. Well, you are who you are in a lot. You have your routines. You have, and it's not realistic. It might be right to tell somebody you got to change everything or you're going to die, but it's not realistic that it actually happens. And I think that's part of not having enough information to be able to pinpoint minor changes that they can do. To say, you threw out the stat that, life expectancy of drivers 16 years less. Well, what if you take that to 8 years less? It's not perfect, but it is a sizable increase if you make a few minor changes you're not on the ledge. You're about to go off the ledge, maybe, but you're not, you know, hanging by your fingernails on death's door.
Yeah, and I think also specifically with health and some of these chronic diseases, you know, every person in that spectrum is somewhere in the spectrum of being able to handle and control it. And if someone is not at least a baseline where they're able to manage it and control it, and they're at least stable, getting them to that is much more important and is going to make a huge difference in their quality of life before we can start now making steps from a lifestyle-based thing to actually start reversing it and you know, creating a momentum in their behaviors and habits, right? Yeah. And so,
getting them to control their chronic diseases is the first step in a long process to get them to ride a bike 20 miles a day, right? I mean, two different universes.
So yeah, that's how I'm thinking about it. And I think it really is, the big difference here is the fact
in the medical costs, right? And not to cut you off, but medical costs of someone who's controlling their chronic disease versus someone who's not controlling their chronic disease can be measured very quickly in dollar terms, which is of much interest to trucking companies.
Correct. And I think uniquely in the industrial sector, on top of that, is there's a lot of trickle-down impact as well when it talks about the turnover, amount of turnover, talking about medical cards, the number one, you know, someone failing a medical renewal of their medical card is a chronic disease, diabetes and hypertension. I think there's also impacts of just the safety aspect of having someone behind an 80,000 pound vehicle going, you know, 65 miles per hour down the highway who doesn't have their diabetes under control. And also there's a lot of data historically on soft tissue injuries and work comp claims for people who are obese and diabetic and have chronic diseases as well. So I really think the clearest one-to-one ROI is healthcare costs, especially for that company who's self-insured, or maybe they just joined a captive group who is holding them to a higher standard so they can keep those lower healthcare costs. But I think from a long-term perspective and looking at it holistically, I think in the long run, you're going to see other aspects from a productivity standpoint, from a safety standpoint, from a retention standpoint, by hitting that first lever of managing chronic diseases.
Yeah, I think you have the managing chronic diseases just on your overall healthcare costs, right? It's a win-win for that. And then, you know, we were talking about this last week, that there's hidden costs. There's hidden costs that everyone should highlight, and because you have retention. Right, you have retention. You also have recruiting, right? Recruiting, retention, workers' comp, productivity. As you're saying, it's just a much more efficient, dynamic company doing this than absorbing all those hidden costs that you don't really think about.
Yeah,
you can't quantify it really.
And then you know we started this whole thing talking about culture, right? And you know even if health is maybe not the top pillar of your culture, I think most companies in the supply chain are trying to show people, their employees, that they care and they're thinking outside of 9 to 5 about their employees and wanting to provide things. If you provide this type of benefit to an employee, you're, even if they're not utilizing it on a daily basis, you're winning brownie points because it's showing your employees that you're caring, that you're different than other employees. And you're thinking about them as a whole person versus how many miles they drove that day, or you know how much freight they booked that day on the brokerage side of things. Right.
So for our listeners, I'm going to throw this out to you, Mark, since you're the pro.
Oh boy,
you're the pro in healthcare. If there's one piece of tech hardware, you know, or something to look at on your own metrics on a day-to-day basis, you had one thing that you had to look at to see what it might be activity levels or something to measure your health that you can go out and purchase or that you might already have laying around. What would it be? What's that foundational point?
Man, that's an interesting question that I don't know if anyone's ever asked me that question before, but I like it. I will say that there's some people that I know who love the wearables and love the data, and there's other people that don't, and then that doesn't motivate them. So I think first lever or first question would be answering, Are you the type of person that if you have a wearable, I'm holding up my Fitbit that I wear.
Yeah.
Is that motivating you for it to ring because you got 7,000 or 10,000 steps every day? Or is that something that not really going to be your thing, right? So that's a question. And then, you know, the other thing is, do you already have an Apple Watch? Do you have a Fitbit? You know, steps is a great measurement, but I don't think it's the end all be all of health, hitting a certain step metric, right? So I think it's a nuanced.
What's your favorite metric?
Oh man. Right now for me personally, yeah. I am trying to increase the amount of vegetables I'm eating per day. I'm looking at servings of vegetables. That's the habit I'm working on personally. So that doesn't really tell you to nerd out on specific data, but I guess it is a metric I'm looking at on a daily basis.
Then you're looking at it. So vegetables, green vegetables, I suppose, right?
Yes.
For the most part. Green vegetables.
Yes. Yeah.
I know it'd be good because healthcare is, or well-being, I should say, is a huge industry. It's a huge industry, and I think it's been not a problem industry, but you know, it's a lifestyle change is what people are selling instead of what we're talking about right here, or pinpointing small changes that you can make on your way to maybe doing a whole new lifestyle change. But you have to start somewhere, right?
100%. And I think just getting started and being okay with it starting small is a huge first step and a huge win. And once you get some of those small wins under your belt, you get the tires turning, you're getting some momentum, then that second habit change becomes a little bit easier. Then the third habit change. And, I just always get people to think about health as not a 30-day sprint, but something that you can do sustainably for the rest of your life. And if you're thinking about making changes to your health, think about, in 5 years, 3 years from today, can I see myself consistently still doing this? And if the answer is no, that's okay. You might just need to start smaller, right? And it's also okay to have seasons where you push yourself a little bit and then you ease off the brakes as well. And so I think it's an interesting dynamic, and it's so personalized, which is why we take that personalized approach for each person, in our organization.
We've said diabetes a few times on the podcast. Is that the most pressing health concern when it comes to not only truck drivers, but like any industrial, factory worker, warehouse worker, dock worker? Would you consider that the most pressing health issue out there? Or is it obesity? Is it, or American in general, whatever you have the best handle on?
Well, I would say like, if we just look at some of these stats are trucking specific, some of these stats are America, and I'll kind of differentiate each of them. But, I think there's a couple of different, I think it depends on what you are specifically looking at. From an actual numbers perspective, like truck drivers, for example, 7 out of every 10 are obese. That's a huge percentage. In America, about 50% of people have hypertension, high blood pressure, and about 1 in every 4 actually have it under control, which is kind of crazy as well.
Yeah.
Diabetes numbers in general are a little bit lower, but typically the 1 in every 7 truck drivers has diabetes. I think it's closer to 1 out of every 10 Americans have diabetes. But the amount of pre-diabetes is about 1 in every 3 Americans. So I would argue that more truck drivers, more than 33% of truck drivers have pre-diabetes. But just from a general healthcare cost, I think that the data is pretty clear that diabetes is one of those bigger leverage points, and something that if you can control it, makes such a bigger difference. But I think really the big three for me, and I think if I was going to throw a fourth one in there, it would be obesity, weight management, it would be diabetes, it would be hypertension. And then, the other one from a chronic disease management point that we didn't even talk about, but is my background, is musculoskeletal injuries. And the healthcare costs of having a total knee replacement or a rotator cuff surgery, and how preventable some of these are if you can get ahead of it and do some prehab or some other exercises before that.
Yeah, I think you listed 5 there. I would imagine it was 4 or 5. I can't. I didn't keep track myself. But I would imagine just from what you listed out, that's pretty well the same list that trucking company executives would give you as well.
Yes. Yes.
On both, you know, let's just say the cost of insurance or the cost of paying for healthcare with drivers and their overall workforce, to be honest, is what maybe keeps them up at night.
Definitely definitely the HR and benefits and the CEOs who are self-funded on health insurance.
Yeah, because they're paying for that. They're paying for that lifestyle. In some regards. Well, Mark, you know, anyone in our audience who wants to learn more about supply chain fitness, or yourself, what's the best way to reach out and learn more?
Yeah, the best way to talk to me is look up Dr. Mark Manera on LinkedIn, or you can look up supplychainfitness.com or Supply Chain Fitness on any social media
out there. You bet. Well, thank you very much for joining us on Put That Coffee Down. It's been a great conversation, and good luck with the Supply Chain Fitness and all the projects that you're working on right now.
Thank you so much for having me.
And with that, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Put That Coffee Down. You can catch us on FreightWaves TV every Tuesday, 12 p.m. Eastern time, and also on our podcast channel here. This is audio only, so I'm dropping more and more audio only conversations with industry leaders like Mark here each and every week on our podcast channel, Put That Coffee Down, or over on Freightcast, where you can get all the podcasts that FreightWaves has available. Download any and all of those, and please hit like and leave us a comment wherever you download your podcast. So with that, until the next episode, go out and make some margin. I got friends, only wanna talk business. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I've been reading all the work, and I've been shutting down the stars.